It's Friday.
It's 5:30.
And it is time for Ask Maggie. Welcome, everybody. Hope your week is wrapping up well. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Friday because we all got to unwind just a little bit. We do a fun segment called Ask Maggie at 5:30 where my senior producer joins me and asks me, Maggie, your questions. You can submit those all week long at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's an email, or you can shoot in your questions now, even 855-752-4842, 855-752-CIVIC. That is our text line. And of course, it's Free Ticket Friday. I will be dropping the word to win in our statewide text to win Brewers tickets. It's a four pack to the 6:40 game on Saturday, June 7th against the San Diego Padres. So don't go anywhere. I'll be dropping that word before the hour is out so you all can have some fun on Civic Media coming up one of those early weekends in June. Welcome back to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy Friday, by the way. You look lovely and springy today, too.
Oh, thank you. I had to dress more like an adult. Remember, everybody, you can watch us on YouTube if you want to give me some wardrobe feedback on what you like to see. Usually, you know, I've been leaning into the I do radio, so I'm going to show up in a t-shirt and jeans sort of thing. I spent a lot of years in suits and heels and pantyhose. So I lean into the jeans and t-shirts.
Radio. Radio is the whole reason I don't do pantyhose and high heels.
The whole nine.
I've spent a lot of time behind a microphone. Hey, before we get started with Ask Maggie, you know, earlier this week, we talked a little bit about the Scripps Spelling Bee, and I was very excited. I actually stayed up the other night to watch the very end of it in the finals. We do need to say a big congratulations to a Wisconsin student, Ethan Robert from New Berlin. He is 12 years old, and he actually placed 10th in the Scripps Spelling Bee. And I mean, it's a nationwide contest. That's nothing to be ashamed of, Ethan. So from one speller to another, you are amazing. Amazing stuff. So that's
I'm
very
not
cool.
quite the speller that Jamie is, Ethan, but I will say thanks for making us Wisconsin proud yet again. Yeah. Way to go. You have to be a hell of a speller to get to 10th place in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. That's awesome.
I got to be honest. I was listening to the final round the other night, and I don't consider myself to be a completely stupid human being, and I don't consider myself to be a horrible speller. I was like, what is this word that they are bringing out? And these students, like, if you watch the final, it was so awesome because the kid knew the word. He knew the word, didn't have to ask for the origin, didn't have to ask for the pronunciation, and he just spelled it, and it was an incredible moment. And anytime you see kids, like, accomplish something that amazing, heck, as adults, is once we accomplish something that amazing, it was really cool to see. But congratulations to Ethan. So if you're in the New Berlin area, make sure you tell Ethan and his family what an awesome kid he is. So with that, I think it's time to get to some questions. We do have some good ones. All right, Jacob, we got to have that fun new intro because, well, it's one of our favorites.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
That's a fun intro.
I like it. I love that one.
I had to wait for the music. Plus, I have so many questions here in front of me because we've gotten a few in email. And I think where we're going to start today is right off the text line because this is a good one. And this comes to our good friend Dave from New Berlin, as we were just talking about that. And Dave usually sends us really silly questions. It's been everything from, you know, how many dryer sheets should he use to over under on the toilet paper. And in typical Ask Maggie fashion.
Yes.
You have answered them all. So today's question is a little bit more serious. And this is a good one because I think this is something that a lot of people have on their mind, especially as we watch, you know, some of the comments coming out of the Trump administration. Can the president suspend our 2026 elections? And if so, how? That is the question that we're going to start with. We're going to give her 60 seconds for this one, Jacob, whenever you're ready.
God, I wish I could say emphatically, clearly, unequivocally, no, but sadly, Dave, I cannot. And here is why. Because in the big, brutal bill, and it seems to be poised, this provision of it seems to be poised to be accepted in the Senate. They've inserted a provision that will limit Article 3 federal court's ability to issue injunctions and make findings of contempt without the party seeking that injunction and contempt ruling, without that party posting a bond. The bond, it has been in the past, depending on the number of claimants, just assumed to be, for symbolic sake, say a dollar a person impacted by the potential ruling and contempt finding. Here, and I'm sorry, this one's taking me a little bit longer because the steps here are really important. If the president clearly and unconstitutionally tried to cancel the elections, say declaring martial law, God knows what else, because he's been invoking those sorts of emergency powers right and left more than any other president in American history since this guy got sworn in. He does that. Someone raises a legal challenge, goes to court, asks for an injunction, maybe goes to many courts asking for many injunctions, depending on how the Supreme Court's feeling. Maybe we got to do it in every single one of the United States' 92 individual district courts, or one court, whatever it may be. Can you imagine which plaintiff has got a dollar sitting around for every eligible voter in the country? That would be, how would you calculate what the bond would be if the president continues to ignore court orders to hold the election, right? Which is a highly time-sensitive matter. Like, if you think about printing ballots, it's not a ballot that says, who do you vote for president? It's got all of those different elections up and down federal, state, and local government. They're incredibly complicated. Usually you got to get those to the printers like a month ahead of time. I know, I've been there. I've done that. I've looked at ballots. I've had to approve ballot proofs. It is very complicated. For every ward, there's a different ballot. And we have hundreds of wards, even just within Milwaukee County. If he just refuses to abide by court orders and you're trying to get a contempt finding, but the federal judge can't make the contempt finding because this laid down MAGA regime Congress, who refuses to abide by its constitutional oaths to actually be a check and a balance on the Article 2 power, the president's power, what the hell happens? So I wish I could say absolutely not. Trump won. I would have said absolutely not. We didn't move the election during COVID, did we? But we have gone through the looking glass. We're not just on the precipice anymore. We've gone through the looking glass. There have been repeated federal courts over the last 2 weeks alone that have increasingly found with greater and greater specificity and alarm that Donald Trump and his administration and the officials that he's appointed to lead these organizations, these federal departments, aren't following court orders. So really, Congress, you're going to require a surety bond for a contempt ruling and thereby open up a possibility that a lawless, unbound, corrupt president, be she a current president or a future president, might just say, nah, we don't need those elections anymore. What the hell? I mean, where are we? That's Dave, such a great question that took me well over a minute, and I apologize.
Well, no, it's important, and I think we have to talk about it, because this is why a few Fridays ago, when Stephen Miller made the claim that, you know, they're looking at suspending habeas corpus, this is why this is a serious conversation. Because initially, with the passage of the big brutal bill, as we like to call it, and those types of comments, this felt like a precursor and a setup to what potentially might one day be just what you're talking. And you and I have had numerous conversations off the air and together about why there's so many implications of this bill, right? I mean, and we have focused on so much of how this is going to harm individuals, families, what's going to happen. But there is so much that's underlying in this bill that we haven't even touched upon yet. And we do have plans to try to get to some of that. This is a 1,000-page bill, though. We're never in a bazillion years going to be able to touch on every single part of it. But it's important conversations that I think people have to be aware of as we go further. So I love the question, Dave. Thank you so much for bringing that to us.
And I'll also say this bit of breaking news. It's being reported this hour that Attorney General sycophant, not constitutional scholar, Pam Bondi sent a letter to the president of the American Bar Association and has said that the ABA will no longer be permitted to review judicial nominees by Donald Trump. This has been one of the core functions of the American Bar Association for time in memoriam. The ABA is not a partisan organization. It's made up of Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, independents, nonpartisan people, Democrats, liberals, progressives, and people who couldn't care a whit about politics. The letter says the ABA no longer functions as a fair arbiter of nominees' qualifications. P.S. But Donald Trump does. I'm just saying, what? And Pam Bondi continues, its ratings invariably and demonstrably favor nominees put forth by Democratic administrations. I hate to say this, maybe because Democrats nominate actual qualified candidates. I'm just saying. And the last president to get a nominee rejected and bounced wasn't Donald Trump. It was Barack Obama. Just saying, as a point of clarification, now I'm talking about to the Supreme Court level. This is insane. While the ABA is free to comment on judicial nominations, no kidding, because that's the First Amendment, along with other, quote, activist organizations, there is no justification for treating the ABA differently from such other, quote, activist organizations, and the Department of Justice will not do so. Specifically, the Office of Legal Policy will no longer direct nominees to provide waivers, allowing the ABA access to non-public information, including bar records. What? Nominees will also not respond to questionnaires prepared by the ABA and will not sit for interviews with the ABA. Conservative lawyers across the country, you know this is wrong. And you know that Donald Trump's nominees to the bench are not qualified to sit on the bench any longer. He's not putting forward simply qualified conservative attorneys for judgeships. He has crossed through the looking glass. I'm sorry to go on during Ask Me Aggie, but this is, I know this as a lawyer, this is bananas. It's calling an organization that has served a critical oversight role an activist organization. The ABA is not an activist organization. Oh, Jamie, yeah. we just got the one really important question in.
But you know what? This is what Ask Maggie is for, right? These are not always topics we normally get to, but we do have to get to our free ticket Friday.
Friday. That is coming up. On the flip side, you are not going to want to go anywhere, because it's not just four free tickets in the club level to go watch the Brewers take on the San Diego Padres on June 7th at 6:40. It's also the Jackson Churio replica jersey free giveaway. So don't go anywhere. Your ticket and Free Ticket Friday Word to Win is coming up next. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.